Wade in the water, wade in the water, children, wade in the water, God's gonna trouble the water.
Niece Jenkins, talk about today, D.C. Emancipation Day.
Today is the 149th anniversary of the emancipation of people who were enslaved in Washington, D.C., the nation's capital. There were 3,145 persons who were enslaved, which means they were not free, they worked for free, they did not have freedom of movement, they were not treated as citizens, they were treated as chattel, as objects, as furniture. You can see listed that they were bought and sold according to body weight, according to age, according to fertility, according to what they could give of their lives and their bodies to their masters. April 16, 1862, they were freed by an act of the United States Congress and the signature of President Abraham Lincoln after many, many years of struggle.
And I just learned today, outside there's a list of the slaves who were freed, but they weren't just freed. The government paid the slave owner certain amounts for each slave.
Yes, there's a listing. I believe you can find it on the Archives, National Archives website. It tells you by name who the enslaved person was and to whom they were enslaved. It lists the master's names also. There was a commission that was formed under the federal government. The masters would go and petition, put in a price for this individual, for this enslaved person. An example is, for example, they would put in a petition to ask for $1,000 for a male who was 20 to 40 years old who would be seen as productive and fertile. And they would present this petition to the commission, and the commission would determine as to what they would pay. I think the cutoff was $350, but at times if this person was considered more valuable, they would pay more. So the list shows you the slave master's name, the enslaved person's name, what the slave master petitioned for, and what the commission determined that would be paid for this person. It's called a compensated emancipation, and D.C. was the only location in the country where the slave masters were compensated and paid. This is not only incredible, it's insane. It's absolutely insane, but that's what happened in the nation's capital. They had to free their slaves. They had no choice, but they could ask for payment. The slaves were freed, given nothing for all of their years and generations of years of work and labor.
And this was done shortly before Abraham Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation?
Yes. April 16, 1862, D.C. Emancipation was approximately 9 months before the Emancipation Proclamation of January 1, 1863. There is some thought that this helped to propel the national emancipation, but a lot of it had to do with international pressure also. Half of the African Americans, or called Negroes at that time, in D.C. were free. It was a smaller population, but there was some concern that as you got more free blacks in D.C., there would be more signs of rebellion and struggle among the enslaved. So that was one of the reasons there was fear. And also you had Frederick Douglass, who was continually working on abolition. And you had international pressure where dignitaries from around the world were coming to the nation's capital and seeing people in chains march up and down Pennsylvania Avenue in front of the White House. So there was a lot of pressure. This wasn't just something done out of the goodness of some people's hearts, although there were abolitionists in Congress.
dignitaries from all over the world still come to D.C., the capital, and they don't see folks in chains, but they aren't necessarily seeing folks who are completely free either.
That's correct, D.C. Our chant is, and D.C. is not free until we free D.C. We are not free until we free D.C. D.C. residents are still not citizens of the United States of America. We do not have representation in the House or the Senate. We are the only capital out of 119, I believe, around the world where we don't enjoy any representation. We have no voice in our country's national legislative body. D.C. residents are the only place in this country where we don't control our own local budget. Our own local funds that come out of our pockets has to go to the Congress and be held up for 30 days to be approved, where it can be changed, altered, attached to with riders, what we call riders or changes that we don't approve of, such as what has happened recently. The Congress is able to overturn our gun laws that happened, able to overturn funds for low-income women who are seeking abortions, able to overturn, for many years they overturned needle exchange for D.C., where we are almost considered close to Haiti or other so-called third world countries in AIDS and HIV. So on and on and on and on, our rights are not recognized by our national legislature. So D.C. residents are still seeking freedom. We're still struggling and fighting for freedom. We're still out there marching. We're still at this time. We're still getting arrested. We're still petitioning. We're still filing lawsuits. We're still seeking true citizenship for residents 600,000 plus.
Anise Jenkins, you're wearing a bracelet, and it's the number 14. Mayor Vincent Gray has a matching one. It's the number 3. Can you explain what that is?
This is my badge. I'm so proud of it. Monday, April 11th, there was a demonstration, and I went to the demonstration rally because of the acts of the United States Congress saying that D.C., the rights that I just talked about, abortion rights, school vouchers that we didn't want, the Congress was going to enforce on us. We were thrown under the bus, unfortunately, by our Democratic African-American president. He made a deal with the Republican Party to say that they would back off of some of the demands they were making to prevent shutting down the United States government by giving up the rights that D.C. residents were going to really pay for with their own local budget. So we decided to go to a rally. Then the rally turned into blocking the street in front of the Hart Senate office building. And then it turned into people sitting in the street, and it turned into people being arrested. And as I say, I'm very proud that I was there. I'm very honored to fight for my rights and for, to make this country honor its promise of full democracy.
Is that the first time you've been arrested for this issue?
No, I think it's 8. I think it's 8 times.
Is that the last time you're going to be arrested?
Never. No, I mean, we have to keep fighting. That goes back to D.C. emancipation. They fought, and a lot of these people never lived to see the results of their struggle. No, I won't stop fighting.
What does it mean to have the highest elected official, the mayor of the District of Columbia, mm-hmm. stand and then sit down mm-hmm. in an act of civil disobedience and go to jail for this issue, for the lack of representation for district residents?
It means everything. To see that the leader of the mayor of your city is there and standing right there with you. In fact, he was one of the first to sit down. He was one of the first to say, you know, okay, we're supposed to be rallying. We're supposed to march down the sidewalk. No, we're going to sit right here in the middle of the street. It means everything. You know that somebody's not willing to let you and your rights be used as a pawn. And it helps. It really helps. You need struggle from the top, and you need struggle from the grassroots. If you can get those two things working at the same time, you're going to be successful. And I really want to thank Mayor Gray for taking the leadership Monday.
He came and spoke here today.
Yes, he came and spoke. He's been willing to come any emancipation program we've had, any program that Stand Up for Democracy has had and other groups, he is willing to be there. I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that he truly believes in these causes. He's spoken out for statehood over and over, and when he was running for office, he said he would get arrested. It wasn't just a campaign promise.
What's the difference between statehood and voting rights?
Statehood is full citizenship. If D.C. becomes the 51st state, we will have representation in Congress. We will be constitutionally qualified to have all the rights that any other citizen has. A congressman from Georgia, a senator from New Hampshire, or wherever, will not be able to overturn any of our rights that we're entitled to. I'd say that statehood is voting rights plus everything else we're supposed to have. Voting rights means that we have voting representation in the Senate and voting rights according to our population in the House, but which is great. You know, we need that. That's very important that we have a voice in the decisions on a national level. But it doesn't guarantee anything. It still leaves us open to have the Congress overturn that law at any time. It doesn't give us the protection that a state has. There's no reason after 211 years now that D.C. has been the nation's capital, that D.C. residents have been demanding the full citizenship rights. It is no excuse that we are not the 51st state of this country.
Anything else you want to add, Anise Jenkins?
As always, free DC, statehood now.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.